Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
Yep.
What a wonderful time to be alive.
Yes. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
I slept for 20 hours. I mean, I was up for a few in the middle there. But I went to bed last night at like... Well, first of all, I came home from... I didn't go to work yesterday because I got up like an hour earlier than I was supposed to because I set the alarm wrong because I was feeling so shitty. I set like several alarms in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I didn't remember that I'd set two of them. You know, because I was going to bed at like nine at night or whatever.
Yeah.
The night before to make sure that I get plenty of sleep because I'd went home early that day. And so I woke up at like 6:30 and I'm like, oh shit, get dressed, get ready. Just kind of went into my thing and walked out. I'm like, man, it's really like quiet this morning. You know, so I'm like, get on the Max and I ride the Max down to the Hollywood area. And I look at my watch and it's like, oh, it's 7:15.
What?
And I don't have to be at work until like 9:30.
Yeah.
Well, like, so what am I going to do for like 2 hours? Just hang out at Fred Meyer? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
or just go to the store and just like read or whatever. You know,
yeah.
That would be something I could do. So I'm like, that's fine. And then I had like a intestinal emergency, which quickly changed that plan. And I got back on the Max and just went home, you know.
Okay.
And then I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's not happening today.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal of, like, you know, texting everybody. Seth was awesome, tried to come in, but he couldn't swing it. And then Aleager was awesome. She just opened a little bit later that day and went in. So
that's cool.
I guess it turned out okay. But, like,
that's good.
Yeah, I don't like missing work. But then I came back and I went to sleep, slept all day that day, was up for a few hours, went back to bed at, like, 9 or 10 that night. And, yeah, I was up today for a few hours. Go to the store and whatever for like 2 hours or something. And then I went back to bed and slept until like you texted pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was just getting up and like around. But
so it was just like general fatigue?
Yeah. Just like, I don't know, like sleeping. I'm not like in like intestinal pain once I get to sleep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's just
kind of
like whatever. I just can kind of sleep through it.
Yeah. It's a way to get around it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is, like, I think normalizing a little bit as long as I'm not doing a lot of walking around and I don't know. So we got to figure some more shit out. I don't know. The medicine probably is going to have to get adjusted or something, or I don't know what's going to have to happen. But watched a great movie last night. I'm kind of back into the old movies.
Oh, yeah. We watched The Day the Earth Stood Still the other night.
Yes, that's a fantastic one that holds up really well.
Yeah.
And then I watched A Bridge Too Far last night, which is 1977. But, man, it's got everybody in it. It's just amazing, the cast. It's got, like, Laurence Olivier, Gene Hackman, Sean Connery, Ryan O'Neal, Robert Redford... Anthony Hopkins.
Wait, what movie is this again?
A Bridge Too Far.
A Bridge Too Far.
Elliot Goulet. Who else? Yeah, no, it's just the full, like, it's so many of the best actors of that era, and it's about Operation Market Garden in World War II. The kind of the doomed paratrooper advance that happened in, like, 44 or 45, like after the Allies landed in Normandy, they moved fastly. You know, they was really pretty effective the way that they spread out from that beachhead.
Yeah,
and it was almost like they were almost more successful than what they were prepared for, and they stretched out so far that the supply lines were getting like really, because Europe's not like it is now where there were highways. There were like very few roads, you know, and they were going through like a lot of swampland and different areas in like the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So it was very tenuous. So like it kind of like advanced and then they all stopped. And this was kind of like a thing that Montgomery, who was like one of the two generals in Europe, came up with to kind of refresh the Allied advance.
Okay.
But it was just a clusterfuck.
Really?
From the very beginning, you know. Yeah.
And so they all play like soldiers and generals and whatnot in that. I don't know that I've seen a young Anthony Hopkins. Is he still look creepy?
Well, he's got a mustache in this and he plays like a, no, he's not really that creepy.
Okay.
I mean, he's still got those weird eyes to him.
Yeah.
You know, but no, he's like a really, pretty great in this, you
cool.
know, and pretty likable. But I guess still a little bit like he plays like a, he's a good commander, you know, good British. He's a
yeah.
good British commander or whatever he plays in this. You know, he plays like a, I don't know, field commander of some variety because he is younger in this.
Cool.
But 3 hours long, some of the scenes in it, like, I don't know how many planes. Richard Attenborough is the director of it. And, I mean, there's a scene, I bet you, with, like, several hundred people parachuting out of planes. I mean, in 50, 60 World War II paratrooping drop planes.
Damn.
No CGI whatsoever,
right.
you know. So many tanks and just huge scenes that were all just live action and all filmed like in the places where they happened as much as they could do it.
Yeah. Damn.
To the point that I guess that like they had to, like the locals were just like totally ripping them off because they were in the middle of the Netherlands. And so they just would try to like $100 for a bag of cement or something like that. So they were going into Germany to buy the supplies they needed for the movie because he was so adamant about going to these little towns that didn't really want him there.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, super good movie on Netflix right now. So,
okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. The old movies are where it's at, folks. I mean, if you want, at least if you have the patience for them, because I mean, they usually take like a little bit, you got to like slow your brain down a little bit, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I think that you just like get the story. Like, I think if they're good old movies, like they have enough story, they move faster almost than like that constant, like, have you watched a Transformers movie? Those fuckers seem like they're 4 hours long.
Yeah, it's true. It's just a barrage of fucking CGI, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
And there's nothing pulling you through.
Yeah.
You know?
But the black and white movies require, like, just, I think you have to turn on a similar part of your brain as when you're reading.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got to, like, listen actively.
Right.
You know, and, like, kind of be paying a little more attention than just, like, zoning out, like, you know.
Yeah,
that
no,
shit.
it's an active time where people are only seeing those movies in the theater. You know what I'm saying? There were no television movies in that period of time. And
right.
That's the golden period of the movies where people would go to the movies like three or four times a week and sometimes twice on Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
Because there were hundreds of movies coming out all the time to every taste. But like when you went to watch that shit.
Yeah.
You
totally.
Know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And does it kind of expect the viewer to meet you a little bit, you know, more? And you can tell when cable starts and they start like, you know,
mm-hmm.
making it just changed it, you mm-hmm. know, where people are doing other things and this, and the movie tries to grab your attention and then
right.
you know, be more and more and more exciting.
Explosions
yeah.
and chases and
right.
whatnot. Yeah.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's a good time period though.
What is?
Just that sort of like 50s, 60s.
Pre 77.
It
pretty much all changed with Star Wars.
Hmm.
You know, all the movies before Star Wars, even Jaws or Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
mm-hmm.
Those are stories with lots of character, lots of plot. You know, the action sequences and the special effects are like the accumulation of the
right.
story
yeah.
or in very dramatic periods of the story
right.
to give emphasis. And it wasn't until Star Wars where you start out with a battleship thing and it's just one wonder after another.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Done beautifully. God damn, I'm not shit-talking Star Wars, but that changed the expectation,
yeah.
You know, in the way that, like, you know, somebody else could come along and change your expectations. Like, Trump sort of changed the expectations for, like, presidents for a little while because this one seemed so boring because Trump was just a fucking, like, constant, not wonders every day, but something to look at every day.
You might have wondered, though. I mean, he definitely probably did some wondering.
Yeah, yeah. But we're not here to talk about any of that business, I guess. You know, we're here to do one of our favorite things because Spenny's on his way off to Texas.
Ooh-hoo.
He's going to have a big adventure. Probably get arrested. there's a border crisis, so make sure you get some pictures of that.
Oh yeah, I want to see.
Yeah. and
a fun border crisis.
My friend Dee Dee just moved to Austin too. Yeah, I've been talking to her. Yeah, so she's
that's cool.
Yeah, she got the fuck out of Portland. Like, that was kind of her thing. I'm moving to Austin because, like,
it's fucked here.
It's safe. Yeah.
It's safe. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's so safe here.
But that'll be fun. But we're kind of doing a late night post barbecue shift here, and so I'm gonna keep it nice and easy and fun and kind of in the spirit of the last Old Gold that we did. I don't know if it's the last one, but it was one of the recent ones that we've done recently. Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
In the sense that we're gonna kind of do a bunch of Peter Gabriels coming up in the next month or two, you know, and kind of just move through his early discography.
Yeah.
You know, I also want to kind of do a series, and we've already done one, I think, of this of him already, but I want to do a series of this next artist as well, where we just cover some more stuff. You know, I was kind of waiting for Stern to get back on, but that might be a long wait, so just going to forge ahead. But that's Bob Dylan.
The Mr. Dill.
Yeah, and he's just got so much shit that we're not going to try to understand it all or put it all in retrospective, but like, there's like five or six really cool songs that are kind of fun to share, and some of them are probably deeper tracks, and then some of them are just like the hits, and some of them are like the standards.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we did kind of a deep live track. And that was cool. And this time we're doing, I don't know, it's ranked number 68th as the greatest Dylan song ever. There are people that actually rank things out like this.
It's the 68th best Dylan song? Okay.
68th. Look, you should see Spencer's face right now.
What? What? No, I find that funny because it's like, in perspective, it's like Dylan, what? He's got like thousands of songs or something?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, hundreds, at least hundreds, you know.
So 68, it's pretty far up there.
68, it's pretty high. Yeah. Pretty high. And, It's just always been like one of my favorites because this was like one of the LPs that I got from my mom, you know. So it was like one of the first Dylan early, like just around records that I had to listen to whenever I wanted to. So I got to know this album pretty well. And it's also like a quite important album as far as Dylan's career goes. Because as you know, he started out as like pretty much a pure folk guy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a transition in the mid 60s where he started to add electric guitar and organ and drums to his music, to the bitter hatred of like most of the folk hipsters. You know, they would scream Judas at him when he would walk on stage at times, you know, and that's so cool to be like the number one person in like a thing. And then just be like, fuck it, I'm doing this now.
Yeah,
you know,
fuck
if you.
You
fuckers don't like it, then, you know, you all fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
You know? And he changed the style of his songs where it stopped being like kind of that protesty thing, blowing in the wind, times they are a-changing, which kind of had some of that nonsense, you know, poetry thing going on in there that was real interpretive sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of, like, in this album, which is bringing it all back home, he kind of just went over the top. You know, he kind of really incorporated the more electrical influences and the organ, and his songs became like just more bizarre, you know, kind of moving towards Highway 61 Revisited, you know, where it's really like these imagery. God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe said, God, you got to be putting me on. You know, just really esoteric, weird things, but it kind of got recharged for this album. And this song is just like in my brain, like kind of hilarious, and it touches on all this stuff, if you listen to it like in a metaphoric sense, and it's one that you kind of have to make somebody sit down and listen to and focus on to really get them to get it. You know, so this is a perfect opportunity for me to torture Spenny with it.
Yay! No, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna
listen to the 115th Dream by Bob Dylan.
All right.
And starts out with him playing it acoustic when they were doing like some demos and stuff, and then it's kind of like mixed together with the actual live take with the band, you know. So there's like this, it's kind of like some studio hijinks at the beginning. So that's a fun thing. You can hear the voice of the producer of the Bob Larson, I think, is the guy that produced it. That's the guy that's laughing. He sounds like the dad, the uncle of the Chipmunks or whatever. So let's check it out. And then, Spenny, just really pay attention to the words and just kind of, you know, whatever.
Should I look up the lyrics?
No, I think you could hear it pretty well. Okay, you know, cool. And it's got a lot of humor and just some cool stuff to it. So let's just check it out, and we'll talk about it when we get back.
Cool. Fuck yeah, let's do it.
I was riding on the Mayflower when I thought I spied some lead.
Start again. Wait a minute now. Okay, take two.
I was riding on the Mayflower and I thought I spot some land. I yelled for Captain E-Rib, I have you understand. Who came running to the deck, said, boys, forget the wheel. We're going over yonder, cut the engines, change the sails. Haul on the bowline, we sang that melody like all tough sailors do when they're far away at sea. I think I'll call it America, I said as we hit land. I took a deep breath, I fell down, I could not stand. Captain Arab, he started writing up some deeds. He said, let's set up a fort and start buying a place with beads. Just then this cop comes down the street, crazy as a loon. He throws us all in jail for carrying harpoons. Me, I busted out, don't even ask me how. I went to get some help, I walked by Guernsey Cow, who directed me down to the Bowery slums, where people carried signs around saying, ban the bums. I jumped right into line, saying, I hope that I'm not late, when I realized I hadn't eaten for 5 days straight. Looking for the cook, I told him I was the editor of a famous etiquette book. The waitress, he was handsome, he wore a powder blue cape. I ordered some Suzette, I said, could you please make that crepe? Just then the whole kitchen exploded from boiling fat. Food was flying everywhere, I left without my hat. Now, I didn't mean to be nosy, but I went into a bank to get some bail for Arab and all the boys back in the tank. They asked me for some collateral and I pulled down my pants. They threw me in the alley when up comes this girl from France who invited me to her house. I went, but she had a friend who knocked me out and robbed my boots and I was on the street again. Well, I rapped upon a house with a U.S. flag upon display. I said, could you help me out? I got some friends down the way. The man says, get out of here, I'll tear you limb from limb. I said, you know they refused Jesus too. He said, you're not him. Get out of here before I break your bones, I ain't your pop. I decided to have him arrested and I went looking for a cop.
I think I figured out a reason why I mean, first of all, that was awesome, you know. But I think I figured out why Bob Dylan has never clicked with me.
Why?
I think I'm not smart enough. or okay, maybe that's that was my like hyperbolistic funny way of saying it. Maybe I'm just a little too retarded to get Bob Dylan. Because the whole time, I'm like trying to keep up with the words, and I get the sense that he's dropping punchlines.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That I should be getting, but I'm like, wait, what? You know, I'm just like, that's literally my head, and I'm like, huh, wait, I know. It's like you're the stupid guy in the room, and everyone's laughing. You're like, yeah. You know? And you're like, I hope they're not, like, laughing at me. You know? I think they're not, though. I think it's not. You know? And so, not that there's ones that I did get, you know? But then it's like, I have a I can't, like, follow it the whole way to where I feel like, a lot of times it'll be referencing an earlier part.
Yes. Or,
you know what I mean? Yes. And so
it definitely tells an entire story.
Yeah. And I got, you know, he's a sailor bum. He's coming to the U.S. And he's getting into all sorts of fights and whatnot.
Right.
But I don't really. And then he like calls the cop on a guy. But then the foot comes through the phone, and then someone's Columbus.
Right. Okay. So it's really quite strange. And a couple things. So he's talking about Captain Ahab.
Right.
Right.
Instead of Ahab,
which is a play off of Captain Ahab.
Okay.
And so what Captain Ahab? What's Captain Ahab after? He's after like the white whale. It's like the mad quest of revenge or this weird thing. You know, people are just discussing what that's all about for the last 150 years.
Yeah.
But, like, Captain Ahab is after the whale, but he's like, boys, forget the whale. You know, we're going to go and set up a fort and start buying this place with beads. So, like, Dylan takes the quest for the whale and turns it into the quest for, like, America, right? And the minute they all land, like, they get arrested, you know, it just goes fucking crazy, you know? So it's just kind of like this move through, like, a surrealistic voyage through, like, this, the craziness that was going to be that is America.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, and then it's the play at the end where it's Columbus that's coming to, like, colonize it. You know what I'm saying? He's just like, yeah, well, good luck to you, brother. You know, I just got done with all of that craziness, and that's what awaits. You know, so it's kind of like this weird, like, Bob Dylan is the metaphysical, philosophical, acid explorer of America that gets there before Columbus and sets out, like, the scope of what it's going to be like as far as, like, the craziness of it. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves it to, like, Columbus to make it into that in all its good and bad and evil and frustrating and all that shit.
Huh.
And then there's so much that goes on, like, as he's, like, cruising through, you know. You know, the guy that he's trying to get arrested is the patriotic American. You know, he goes to the door, he knocks on the door, and he's like, hey, I got some friends down the way. Can you help me out? And the guy's like, get out of here or I'm going to tear you limb from limb, you know? And he's like, hey, you know, you refused Jesus. They refused Jesus, too. And then the American guy's like, well, you're not him.
Right.
You know, so he gets really mad. And he's like, I'm going to go find a cop and get this guy arrested because it's so contrary to, like, what the image of, like, that, you know, the good hearted American, like, going to help you, like, believes in Jesus and all that sort of shit. You know, it's like turning it on. It's so bad that it should be criminal.
Right. But then he goes and calls a cop, which is like what the American guy would do. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Right. Like,
right. Right. It's and the cops are also the person that have arrested, like, all of his friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he just completely forgets it, you know? And, like, he goes and he finds, like, some sympathy, supposedly, like, from the funeral director, you know, where he tells him the story about Ahab and everything.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, well, call me if they die because I'm a funeral director. You know, he gives him the card. And, you know, it's just a really, like, I don't know. It's a really... wild mosaic. And some of it I still don't quite understand.
Yeah.
There's the part where, like, the Coast Guard comes. He's ripping up the parking ticket on the Mayflower when he's trying to leave. You know, he flips the coin, like, whether I'm going to go back to jail or to the ship. And he flips it. He sells his sailor suit. He loses his sailor suit throughout. You notice he, like, leaves without his hat. They take his shoes, then he pawns his sailor suit, flips the coin, goes back to the ship. He's ripping up the parking ticket, and the Coast Guard comes by, and they ask him who he is, and he says, I'm Captain Kidd, and they're like, well, they believe me, but they want to know what I do. And he's like, well, I work for the Pope of Erengrai, or whatever it is that he says. And then he's like, they let me go right away, they're very paranoid. And I have no idea what that means, or what the significance of that Pope of whoever it is.
Huh.
But,
yeah, I fucking know.
And I've been listening to that song for 30 years.
Wow. I mean, Bob Dylan seems like he's kind of a trickster too. Like, he would just throw in some, like, pure, surrealism.
Right. I mean, he just asks the cow for directions in the middle of it.
Yeah. And the foot comes through the phone.
Well, that's like a cartoon. You know, if you ever see the cartoon where, like, they go, hello, and it's like someone punches him through the phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the imagery that he's pulling up from that
who is kicking him.
He walks outside and
it's the police that he calls? Because doesn't he call the police and they kick him through the phone?
No. He walks outside and a bowling ball's coming down the street and knocks him over. And as he's getting up, the payphone starts to ring. And when he answers, a foot comes through the line.
I see.
So it's just kind of like a metaphor on, like, how things are going.
Yeah.
And that's when he decides, like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm going to flip a coin to decide whether I'm going back to jail or to the ship.
Yeah.
You know.
Because both are better.
Right.
Than this.
Right.
Yeah. And then I thought it was a very bold move how he drops the Columbus line. And then they, like, fade out this entire, like, 6.5-minute song in just, like, 3 seconds.
Right.
They're like, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
And
I thought that was bold.
And he didn't perform this song until 1988 live.
Hmm.
So that's another odd thing. And he's only played it 6 times live.
Yeah. Really?
Because people keep track of that, apparently.
Yeah, of course. I mean, at this level, yeah.
Yeah.
You got your scholars.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
I
used to own that big hardback edition of, like, it was, like, put out in 1980-something. I think it was 87 or 88. And it was just, like, all the lyrics of all the Bob Dylan songs. It was really cool. I don't know what happened to it. I loaned it to a girl, I think, and it never got back.
She broke your heart and she stole your Bob Dylan lyrics.
I think she mostly just stole my Bob Dylan lyrics.
Maybe she broke your heart too.
No, I probably broke her heart and she stole my Bob Dylan lyrics.
Revenge. Yeah,
that's probably what it was.
Yeah, it's probably true.
If it's the one that I'm thinking of, it was definitely... She didn't want to break up as much as I wanted to break up. That's for sure.
Yeah. Such is the case.
She punched me. Closed fist punch right in the
face?
Arm.
Oh, arm.
Not in the face.
But like a full wind up?
Yeah, no, she was pissed.
Full shoulder wind.
She was pissed. She even lifted off the ground a little bit.
Bink.
Yeah, she was weird at the park and she like totally just kind of ran into it, you know, like all of her weight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I could see you making some ladies pretty mad. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Don't be a psycho.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, how about this? how about you don't be a psycho?
Yeah. How about don't?
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's good. Memories.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't fucking poison your food after that, too.
Well, you don't break bread very often. After that, for a while.
That's true. That's true.
No, she joined some hippie commune.
Huh.
I think she does live like in Southern Oregon actually now.
Really?
She changed her name to like
Wildflower.
Solar Rainbow or something like that. Yeah,
sure.
No. It's something really fucking.
It's like Moon
it's
Demon.
It's like a name combination with Solarink or something like I don't
Solarina.
Know. It's fucking, and then her partner, husband, whatever, has a name that's equally. It
Moon
sounds like seriously
Dingo.
Like Moon Dingo, Moon Dingo, yeah. And
Solarina.
And Solarina.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it's something like literally that. Like that. Moon Dingo and Solarina.
That's good.
Moon Dingo.
Moon Dingo.
That is some fucking fire right there.
Yeah,
Moon Dingo.
That's pretty good.
I don't know that's fucking gold.
Sounds like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like the title of this episode for sure.
If this were just a jazz episode, it would for sure be called Moon Dingo.
Moon Dingo and Soul Arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe
some
that'll be the subtext of it. That's amazing.
So back to the Dylan song, you're saying that people were getting pissed at him during this time?
Yeah.
See, those fucking hipster douches, because I'm like, I listen to this, I get how it's maybe like more, obviously more orchestrated than like...
It's plugged in.
Folk. Yeah, but I mean, he's still just strumming away on a fucking acoustic guitar, doing his lyrics.
The end, there's a bass, it's plugged in.
Boo.
It's got drums, it's just... That's what it was. They wanted a dude with one guitar, or maybe a two guitars and two dudes.
Right, or like a fiddle. You can have like one other guy come in for the fucking other thing.
Right.
A fiddle, or you can choose maybe like a fucking...
Upright bass, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was some of that going on.
It's
got to
be something
like banjo,
you can walk.
You could do some banjo.
Right. It's got to be something you can walk down a dirt road in your bare feet with.
Right.
You know what I mean? A guitar, a fiddle, a
banjo. It's basically corner music. You know, they just wanted that, moved it inside, and gave it like a political bent, and that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know? And this ceases to be like that that clear political message, you know, really that Blowing When the Wind or something has, you know? So that's a disappointment for like the deep fans at that time. And then it's plugged in. I mean, it is definitely a different sound than like the early stuff.
Yeah.
It just is.
No, for sure. I don't know. Someone who's not as, you know, plugged in to Dylan, it sounds like Dylan. But maybe that's because the first thing I ever listened to him was Highway 61.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the Highway 61 is like the next album.
Right.
Or
so,
maybe two albums.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I didn't get into him. And then I was like, I should, you know, all these people I respect really like him.
We should probably take it home with an old Dylan song, just to kind of get like the.
I know
Freewheeling Bob Dylan and stuff. Yeah.
I know. I just didn't separate the two so like concretely. I thought he had his acoustic songs, he had his songs with the band, and they both sound like Bob Dylan. He's still just...
No, it made everybody wildly crazy.
Yeah, it's so silly.
I mean, really, really, like, he got booed.
It's so silly.
A lot. Like
God,
Monterey Jazz
so
Festival,
dumb.
He got booed.
These people are so dumb, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I they want what they want, and maybe
I know, but like coming from like the death metal... school, like seriously, like, you know, as much like intestinal trouble folks have over like a keyboard in a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
you know what
I
I'm
know,
saying?
I
or
know.
Like speeding up the guitar part or any sort of like, there's all sorts of things that can get the metal army's pants just completely soaking wet.
That's true.
You know, and it's very similar to like the folkies of like the 60s and the late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It was their whole
the purists.
It was, they were purists. Yeah, it was their whole thing.
Yeah,
like they didn't like the Mamas and the Papas because it was too. They got mad at the Mamas and the Papas, and they were right. Like they were right. You know, in the sense that like Dylan did this, so the next thing you know, like everybody did this because like what did you say when you looked at this album? You're like, wow, this has got like a lot of great hits of his on here.
Yeah,
because people liked it and it got on the radio and it made a fucking dump truck of money for Bob Dylan.
Right.
And so all the other big folk artists, like, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary, all of them, they're like, you know, if we just kind of, you know, do a little different here, we can get our singles on, like, the top 20.
Right.
You know, and make a dump truck of money.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what they did because, like, purists are great, but, like, a dump truck of money, like, will take care of you when you're old.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
That's it. And that's kind of what happened. You know. and the purist folk movement pretty much just shriveled up and died and turned, eventually just like evolved into open mic night.
Yeah.
And that's where it lives now.
Fuck. Yeah, it's so true. I've been to those.
Yeah. I mean, in the third world, there's some pure folk stuff going. And I think in like some Irish bar circuits, there are like folky bands that play regularly in like Irish bars.
But can you be a true, I guess Bob Dylan was, but to me, the idea of being like a folk purist in the modern era.
It's so like preposterous. Yeah, I don't
even
know. You're
cosplaying. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with it as far as like liking folk, making folk in the modern era, but pretending like you're
an academic. I mean, you could also be like a folk academic and be seeking out like that sort of thing. But it doesn't really exist as like there's no like parts. I mean, maybe there's parts of like Appalachia and West Virginia that still exists to some degree.
Where it truly exists.
Have you ever seen The Dancing Outlaw?
No.
Really?
No. What? No.
Oh, wow. No. You've never seen Jesco White, The Dancing Outlaw?
No. Who's that? Don't give me. I hate it. Does that really surprise you that I haven't seen this?
It does sort of because like you love Soft White Underbelly and like that sort of thing. And this is like the grandfather of all of it. The Fabulous Whites was like a series that they had on television, or maybe just the second movie. I can't remember. But like The Dancing Outlaw he's a tap dancer dude that lives in deep West Virginia that's just fucking crazy on meth and fucking drugs and his whole family and it's his life. Wow. It's fucking crazy. And it goes into his past and his family and like all of it. It's some of the most compelling shit that you've ever seen. Wow. And the guy can fucking tap dance like a motherfucker. Wow. But it makes you think that maybe there are like pockets of that area where they are still playing like honest to God, like folk music, like they've been playing for the last 200 years in America.
Wow.
But there's definitely places in like the Middle East and in Africa and Russia and stuff where that's still going on, you know, that tradition has hung on to some degree.
Yeah.
Mexico and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's rad. So it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's intense.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, and then the Fabulous Whites are kind of about like his kids more than him.
Huh. When was this made?
2000 sometime, probably.
Okay.
I think some of the footage goes back into the 90s, but like I think it came out. Like I remember watching it like, God, I still remember making my mom watch it, and she was just like, what is going on?
Right.
She couldn't stop watching it either. We watched all of it.
Some Tiger King type shit.
It's Tiger King. It's like Tiger King's like Mr. Rogers compared to this motherfucker.
Okay.
Okay. I mean,
all right.
Seriously.
Word.
Yeah. So.
Okay. That's bold, and I am intrigued.
Yeah.
Color me intrigued.
So that's going to be your homework. Maybe we could have a whole episode about The Dancing Outlaw after you watched it. We could just do play for the story for once and just watch that and then talk about it.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
I'm up for that. Yeah. Man, and the whole purist and elitist genre gatekeepery thing has really been coming up a lot in my life lately.
Yeah.
It just a couple times, but in just like the past 2 days.
In terms of what other genres?
I mean, metal.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
But it's come from, in one form, there was this very entertaining series of stories that a very prominent guitar maker, luthier guy, was posting, where he was basically making the case that, you know, subgenres like metalcore and like, you know, deathcore and like nu metal and things like that, or it's just pop music masquerading as metal, you know, and that just face it, it's okay. You love pop rock and you want to feel like you're edgy, so you'd kind of put on the clothes of the metal thing and you do that, but that's not what you want and you'll never be one of us, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
So and then there was another discussion last night that I had with a friend who I was showing him some music, and he's like, yeah, you know, I just don't really like stuff that sounds like shit, you know. He's one of my very outspoken friends. It's hilarious, you know. It makes me laugh, but then I'm also like, I'm going to defend it though. You know, when you take a statement like that, like, it'd be one thing if you're like, yeah, this is just isn't my thing. I'm like, yeah, I get it. This is obscure. But it's like, this just sounds like fucking dog shit, dude. So I'm going to defend it. And it's like, and it's another one of those dichotomies or divisions in the metal world where there's like the super overproduced stuff or like the very squeaky clean, perfect, technically, you know, like robotic, pristine music. And then there's like the just like four dudes in a garage making literally what your mom thinks metal sounds like.
Right.
Like just noise.
Right.
And then there's everything in between. And then people on both sides just argue about which is better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so that's been coming up, and it just is funny that the same thing exists in folk music, you know. Or in any subgenre, really.
Yeah.
You know, or genre of music.
Yeah. So many times in history, it's just really, people get really, like, settled in. And people were pissed that the Beach Boys showed up. Right. And they started singing harmonies in rock and roll.
Right. It's too soft.
Yeah. It was just a bunch of, I mean, like, there's a part of, like, American Graffiti, that movie, is, like, the older guy that's, like, the dragster guy that's the 50s guy that's still, like, out cruising the strip. He hates the fucking Beach Boys.
Oh, okay.
This shit's fucking ruining rock and roll.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's been going, you know, forever.
Just forever and ever.
Yeah,
and
it started with rock and roll.
Right.
I mean, all the black people that were listening to that music when it started to be, like, played by white people and catching on.
They're like, fuck.
Yeah. It's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah,
you know,
over
and that's
over.
Just been going again and again and again.
Wow.
And most of the time it's right. Like, it is, like, when you get those people pissed off, like, things are changing.
Yeah.
Irrevocably. I mean, I don't know about metal, because metal, that seems to be just intertwined into the fabric of the fandom in a way. You know, I don't think, like, folk people started loving folk music because they wanted to argue about folk music. You know what I'm saying? They love folk music for all the other reasons, where I think that there are a lot of metal musician dudes that it just are wired this way that they just, like, want to argue about music also, you know? And this is, like, a great arena for me to argue about music, because we can endlessly disagree and both be right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening last night.
Right.
It was like we're both disagreeing, basically sparring, mentally sparring or whatever. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, it's just subjective. And so we're both just like, well, you know, you just kind of have to, like, throw your arms up. And it's like we're trying to convince the other person to, like, adopt our preferences. We both know that's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well, I mean, a lot of it is no, I don't know.
Yeah, what would you say it? Say it, you punk. Hey, just so you guys know, he's wearing a Redskins hat or a Chiefs hat or one of them.
I am so safe. I am one of so them. Safe. He doesn't know. It is not either of them.
What is it? The red? The
you
the,
don't know.
Oh, it's the engines.
It's not the engines.
The Casper engines.
The Casper engines.
Was that your high school baseball team?
Yeah, it was. It was.
What
the Casper colonizers?
The colonizers. They got beat by the colonizers every year. Oh no, that's bad. It's bad. Fuck. What is it?
No, what I was gonna say is that, in, like, a lot of the new music genres that the kids enjoy, they like what they like because it reinforces their sense of who they are, and so they are hard. It's hard to find, like, an arbitrary standard in which to judge which is better.
That,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You used to be able to. You used to be able to say that, like, oh, this band is better than that band because this band's headlines and this band opens and this band has this. You know what I'm saying? They were, like, they're measurable things, you know. And now that's just much more murky, you know. And it can work against a band, too. There's a point where, like, that works against you.
Yeah.
If it's all too easily popular, it becomes too easily popular, then like you pay a price for that as far as like folks that like to argue about music.
For sure.
Goes. So it's interesting.
Well, that was a very like cogent point.
I thought you were going to say something a lot more like, well, you know, metal is all shitty, so why are you guys arguing?
Oh, I was going to say something like, well, it sounds like you two people are just like trying to like, you know, you're just flexing on each other.
Yeah, no, that's
it wasn't
exactly
even
what
about
it is.
Music. It was just about two like mildly retarded running elk just fucking fighting over a parcel of land that no female elk would care about.
That is what it was. What it was, and you know. And I have no regrets. It's because the elk at this age, they got to do that, you know.
Yeah, no, because all the real elk are all getting laid down valley.
You know, I don't know about that.
This is the place where all the
I think it's tough for all of the elk right now.
All the old elk just kind of get up and just kind of wander around and bang into each other a little bit.
Don't call me an old elk.
You're almost 30. It's done.
30.
Start digging a hole. Start digging,
you know,
a
what?
Hole.
All right. First of all, you know the saying, they always say it, where it's like, who was first? Like, well, 20's the new 30 or whatever. 30's the new 20.
30's the new 20.
30's the new 20. All right.
Mm-hmm.
40's the new 30. So you're about to turn 40.
What?
See what I'm saying? So you're 38 right now.
What?
In
oh right, in,
you know,
make believe
in
years.
Modern
yeah,
yeah,
yeah
make,
so
in
I'm
modern
40.
Years,
yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I mean,
I don't
I'm
know.
Probably about I'm my 50 is going to be very similar to like my parents' 40, as far as like maturity and all that sort
yeah.
of thing goes.
Yeah, same with my 30 to my
right,
parents'
your
30 is going to
be similar to your parents' 15 or 16.
Fuck. Your stupid face, dude. You know that?
No, 20. No, 21. 20. 20, 21.
21, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to school.
Like, if your parents would have started drinking at 11, like, you would be like what they would be like at 21.
Yeah, if they... Fuck. Yeah, it's true. But I actually did start drinking around 11, so...
So if your parents like
started drinking around
like
were three.
Like if your parents were crack babies that were fed booze simultaneously with their baby formula from the moment they were born, you would be turning like what they would be when they hit 21.
Cool. Yeah, I got a job at a food cart. I fucking play music with my dumb friends.
And your weed store. Don't forget that you sell weed, too.
I sell weed also.
Yeah.
I sell weed. So
and
yeah.
you do this wonderful podcast, which we and would like to thank everyone for tuning in to once
Absolutely.
Again. And Spenny, thank you for listening to Bob Dylan. Yeah. I'm going to cut you off before you start feeling too bad because you're off for Texas tomorrow.
Woo!
You've got no time for that.
I don't feel bad.
Sunny skies in the Lone Star State. It awaits.
It's going to be awesome.
You've been to Texas before, though, right?
I have, yeah. Yeah. Awesome. But not for too long. I've been to Austin, and it was on a tour with two of the same guys that I'm going with. And but it was East Austin, which they don't tell you is not like Portland.
A little creepy.
That's not like Portland.
No, it's not like Portland.
They're like, yeah, it's the Portland of Texas. And we go there. We were driving through. We're like, oh, this is cool.
It is the Portland of Texas.
Yeah. But then we go to East Austin, and it is just, I mean, at least the part that this venue was in is just the ghetto. Like, I've never had someone be like, you lost, white boy, before, and like, serious, being like, no, we're playing a show. I mean, you know, and like people like why, like just leering, and like our friend who's named Austin actually went to the local convenience store, and they're like, "Hey, man, you don't want to be here." And he's like, "Oh, actually, yes, I do. I was here to buy some Gatorade, purchase some Gatorade from you." And they're just like he's so like fucking autistic. He just didn't even pick up on the like veiled threat. He's like, simply you're mistaken. I would like some Gatorade. They're like, this motherfucker's crazy. This fucking white boy's insane.
Did he get Gatorade?
He got Gatorade. Huh. And I think he got some alcohol too. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're just like, okay. But anyway, yeah. But that's the only other time I've been to Austin.
Wow. You're going to go back to
same
place.
Same spot, yeah.
Awesome.
We're going to go check out maybe playing a show there again. Yeah.
Just do some busking. I think you should just do some street busking.
Yeah, totally.
Just unload a bunch of equipment and just like get out there and just play some folk songs.
Yeah.
I hear the wind going around the bend. What's going on? Hey, give that back.
I would just leave like with just like my underwear.
Just a couple stabs.
A couple stabs. A couple light flesh wounds.
Just your underwear my walking underwear around Austin.
Like bleeding. I just tried to play. I just tried to play the music.
Let's just do some body rate covers.
Body rate, yeah. They didn't like them. They didn't like my body rate. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Well, I hope it goes better than that. But
no, I'm sure it will. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
All right, everybody. We will be back very soon with more goodness.
Yeah, that's right. We love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.